Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had so many questions. How do I record an episode? Where do I find background music? How do I get my show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other places people like to listen? Where do I find advertisers? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and 100% ridiculously easy to use. The ability to be able to record your podcast anywhere via your cell phone or even your laptop makes Anchor the obvious choice of a platform to use. So if you always want to start a podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Hello, everyone. This is Nick, and this is the Holy City Hop Podcast brought to you by Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Music. Welcome, guys. Hope everybody's having a really good day. It's your host with the most, Nick motherfucking Stevenson, and you're listening to the Holy City High brought to you today by Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Just me by myself today, guys, so hope everybody's having a good time during the holidays. Hope everybody's Thanksgiving went well. We're in the countdown to Christmas. It's the seventh day in December. So happy holidays, including Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, and all other holidays celebrated by different religions. But today, we're gonna be kind of fully stacked, man. Kind of give you a rundown on some things. We're gonna review today the Folly Beach riots that happened. What is it now? Almost 7 years ago. It's almost 7 years now. A little over six. In addition to that, gonna give you an account of some things that sometimes I almost have died in my life, but not in a serious way. Kind of like, damn, that would have sucked to go out like that. So I'm gonna review some of those. Also, in addition, this is gonna be kind of like a personal one, but we're gonna reflect on the drinking culture of Charleston and how it's kind of a not necessarily, I want to say, dire situation, but I think it's some important people need to be brought that if you're not from here or haven't been here, ever visited here, for my listeners that are listening from out of state or anywhere else, we're going to touch base on that. In addition to, you know, the big show off, if you haven't seen on our social media pages, we did a had a big poll go out who's more influential between our two candidates. We'll get into that in a little bit. But right now I'm going to touch base on some events going around in the Charleston area that you might find intriguing, or at least some of my listeners might find intriguing. Hope you should make the most of your weekend. First, we're going to start with the Christmas on King Bar Crawl, produced by Blue Steel Productions. This bar crawl, I think, originates at Brick Charleston, located over on Ann Street. It's from 3 to 11. There's multiple bars. There are tickets, which will include, I believe, a Santa hat and a wristband. You can get on Eventbrite. They're between $16 to $30. It's pretty dope, man. They do this every year. And you see the people, man. I want to say last year they started at Mint Charleston, but I want to say originally break. They might be going. They're probably making their tour around, man. I'm not sure if the bar is listed. I'll definitely check out the website, or in addition to the Facebook posts I've seen. In addition to that, I also have the Folly Beach Christmas Parade. That's Saturday. Starts over at say it starts at 12. It's right down Serum Street in Folly. Might be raining. It's supposed to rain all weekend, so we're going to see how that goes. I'm not sure if they're going to still hold the parade because of the weather situation. It's supposed to rain the next 3 days. So hopefully That's not the case, but you know, just keep your ears posted. Just check up on the all the social media pages for that event. And the bigger one is the Mount Pleasant Christmas Light Parade, which is huge. It's over in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, located over on Coleman Boulevard. This parade is pretty big, so I believe they shut down the bridge, at least to Coleman Boulevard. And I want to say it runs from pretty much from Patriots Point to, I want to say, a little bit past the Farmers Market, maybe to almost Ben Sawyer and Chuck Dolly. I have to check on that route. But that's December. It's a light parade. So it starts at, I believe, 5:30. But I believe it starts shutting the roads down around 4. So just be advised with that. If you're traveling the area, just be advised on Sunday or Sunday evening. If you're trying to get to Mount Pleasant, that road would not be available necessarily. But other than that, that's about all my events I have listed for in the Charleston area. If you know of any more, just shoot me a shout out or tag me on a post. And we can go from there. But going back to our first segment, main post, would be, so if you haven't checked out, please check out our Facebook page, Twitter page, and then Instagram page, Holy City High. I set this poll, I want to say Wednesday, and influential people, the most influential person between the two candidates, which was Shep Rhodes and Byron Knight. Give you kind of a backstory on these two people. Shep Rhodes, these by far will be more known outside of Charleston. He's one of the lead characters on the Charleston-based show Southern Charm, which is run on Bravo, the network Bravo. So check that out. I believe it's their fifth season. They just got done with their fifth season. And I want to say they got renewed for a sixth season. Me personally, I don't follow the show, but I'm very familiar with the characters. Now, I actually have a story about Shep. I'm going to tell you a little bit after I tell you the results of this poll. He's still a bachelor. But if you know him, he's always around King Street. He owns a few bars here in Charleston, including the Commodore, the Alley, at least part owner, not full owner. So I'm gonna say, he's like just part owner. And the Commodore, the Palace Hotel, and the Alley. He's also very frequently around just anywhere on King Street. He's a pretty outgoing person. He gets pretty lit. In addition to that, he gets wasted, actually, man. I'm going to give you a story about that, how he gets wasted. And first is the other candidate is Byron Knight. If you've ever been to Charleston or you live in Charleston long enough, you know that Byron is a kind of a King Street staple. He's a homeless dude, actually. That he's really nice, but what he's really known for is I don't know his history. That's what I've kind of been trying to look into, like where he learned his ability. But he's really good at like just cracking it back. I want to say he's a chiropractor. I've been told he was a chiropractor that got addicted to crack. Heard he was a military veteran that just fell on hard times. But whatever his story is, he's a really nice dude. There's a story from a couple years ago where he saved this girl from a sexual assault and like drugged the guy out and beat this dude up in the Burns Alley and prevented a rape, essentially. So props to him. But, you know, he is also addicted to crack. So I guess you can just pick your pros and cons about the dude as you want. But other than that, man, my dealings with him personally, it's been nice. Shit, you know, getting drunk, walking down the street on King and have an opportunity to get your back cracked and feel like a whole new person for the rest of the night. Hell, man, I'm not going to be the one to tell you not to do it. I mean, obviously, you know, you want to be on alert and be like, well, I can understand some people like hesitant approach where it's like, okay, like, what if this dude fucks my neck up or something like that? And then, you know, that's the risk you take. But for the most part, I haven't heard. I want to say Charleston City Paper in 2013 rated him as the best street character. But he's a terrifically nice guy. If you come across visiting the city, definitely check him out. You must see him somewhere on his bike. Somewhere, mainly Upper King Street. I mean, King Street, that's kind of the bar script I'm referring to. But essentially, somehow, I don't know what caused me to come up with the idea to compare these two people. I don't know. I felt like I just said something. I seen like another poll on Facebook, and I'm just like, you know what? This would be a good one to do for my podcast. But hey, man, it worked, man. The turnout for this poll was pretty dope, man. I was really, didn't expect, man. I did post it in certain different groups, and almost got 400 people voting this poll. It was overwhelmingly. Byron was the favorite. I mean, Byron's been around since the late 90s, so he's been here for a hot minute. So people are very well aware of who this guy is. But it was like 95% to 5. But 95% in favor of Byron. So shout out to Byron. I will post this final result once again on our Instagram page and along with our Twitter and Facebook accounts. And a good shot, Byron. If you have any other ideas of two people you want to know, compare, man, check us out. Tag me. You can follow my Instagram handle, Nick@NightSC, or my Twitter handle, NickOTO. Check me out. And I'll try to see if I can get some new candidates and people and try to see who's more influential. I might just do this every episode, at least for the month of December. Why not? But a story about Shep. Just curious. So this happened, I want to say, like this happened right after Halloween. And it was like my good friend of mine, Jen. And shout out to Jen if you're listening. Hope you enjoy your time. But it was her last week here in Charleston. She moved back to Phoenix. Finished up school and stuff. But she likes to go out a lot, so we thought, hey, let's go. And it was like the middle of the weeknight. I want to say it was like a Wednesday night. And we went down, kind of just went bar hopping down King Street. I want to say we started like Uptown Social. But in between, our next bar we went to was the Dispensary. And like it was pretty packed. And for people that don't know, the Dispensary used to be called Midtown, which was a big college bar a few years back. But now they got like a whole new remodel and try to aim to be classier, but it's kind of like still the same kind of crowd. But it's not bad. I mean, the remodel is pretty nice. But they also cut the restaurant in half. At least took the whole side of it. That was a big component of the restaurant. But so be it. But we go to the Dispensary, and like I think they had a live band that night or something. But long story short, I go out to the back patio. For people that never been to this place, when you first walk in, you kind of got to walk through it's the dance floor, which is probably a lot of restaurants in this place. But it's a dance floor. The band's like right to your left. You have this huge crowd of people. And there's a long bar right to your right. So, you know, my girl's going to try to get a drink. And my friend Jill wants a good one from outside because two guys she knows are like initially working outside. So I was like, hey, just go outside and meet you out there in a second. I'm gonna grab a drink from the bar because I do the bartender inside. And I want to say, hey. And I got to grab a drink. Then I make my way through this crowd, which is quite a bit of people. But essentially, I make it outside. You know, if for people, I guess they don't know how I look. I'm a black guy. And I started growing my hair out like 6 months ago after my birthday. Really for no reason, just so I have a pretty decent fro going on right now. And I don't know what it is. It's like, I guess there's some white people that have never touched black people hair or whatever. But this guy's drunk. So this guy's like drunk as shit. I can see him clear as drunk as hell. I was like, hey, dude, come over here. And I'm looking like, okay, like what the fuck and stuff. And he's like, he wants to take a picture. I was like, what the fuck you want to take a picture of me, dude? And I'm like, dude, I'm like one of maybe four or five black people in this bar right now. Why choose me? He's like, dude, you have an awesome fro. Like, can I touch it? I'm just like, that's a little weird to ask. But I'm just like, fuck, whatever. Like, go ahead, man. If it feels like, you know, makes you happy and gets you through life and kind of is like a moment in your life if you touch a black man's fro, let me be the guy to do it for you. Right? So I let him touch my fro, and by, like, this remind you that I kind of don't know who this guy is, at least not initially. No thinking and stuff. And, like, as he's doing this, I'm looking around, like he's with, like, a group of people, like, this group of girls and stuff. And I'm just like, you know, they're all taking pictures of it, too. I'm just like, All right. Who is this guy? I'm like thinking and stuff, and like then like found like, all right, man, like you good, dude, like you good, nice. Go take a picture. So I kind of walk away, and like my friend, I asked my friend Chin, like, who was that guy? He was like, oh, that's Shep. I was like, oh, that's Shep. Now by my part, like Shep used to, a long time ago, when I first met Jen, Shep used to be, and this is like probably about 3 years ago. So he's a big, like he's big and going to a Home Team Barbecue, which is a big Georgia bar, and he's a Georgia grad. I mean Georgia, I mean University of Georgia for my listeners. And like I go there a lot too because they got some banging ass wings. But so I go over there and he used to like hit on my friend Jen. My friend Jen's pretty attractive. Sometimes she's a little crazy though. Which makes sense. How you all the crazy are usually. Not always, but you know, for most people. But yeah, so like she knew very well was over him and stuff, and I was like, oh, okay, I mean, that's weird. So I was thinking like, well, shit, I can swing some like listeners from his friend group over to my podcast. Fuck, why not? You're right, take advantage of the opportunity, right? And stuff, and like I went back outside and he called me back over again and shit. I was like, dude. So like he took a couple of pictures. I'm not even sure he posted them on Instagram or not. Probably not, because they're probably racially insensitive and probably just wouldn't be a good look, at least from a publicity stunt. But that's my I guess my encounter with Shep. I mean, I ain't just, it was kind of drunk, but that's what he's known to be pretty much on King Street, which is no different than anybody else in Charleston. So you know, we might judge him on that. But that's it with that, man. Once again, Byron won the polling contest by wide margin. I want to come up with two more, man. So if you have any suggestions, just shoot me an email. You do Holy City High, @gmail.com, or just tag us, or tag me on my page or social media pages at the Holy City High. You come across that. Now I'll definitely take your suggestions to heart and see what we can come up with. But we're going to take a little break. And our next segment, we're going to kind of focus on hitting kind of like a hit something that's becoming identity of the city, which has been identity of the city, but it's, I'm going to give you some situations where it might be getting problematic and wonder if some people can relate to it or maybe have their own stories about it. But right now, you're listening to the Holy City High. Ooh, excuse me, guys. No, sorry about that. Well, welcome back to the Holy City High, guys. It's your host, Nick. I'm going back at for segment two, episode 7. Before I go into this next piece, just give some tidbits. 2019 is looking like a really good year for shows and movies, man. If you are unaware, they just released the first trailer of the second part of the Avengers movie. It's going to be called The Endgame. It's going to come out in April 2019. So a little less 6 months, or like 5 months. It's pretty dope. I'm excited, man. I'm big on Marvel movies. I'm a big comic nerd. Black nerd by default. Excited. But in addition to that, The Lion King's being remade next year. You also have Game of Thrones. I think Captain Marvel comes out. There's probably some other shows I'm overlooking. I'm just not thinking of at the moment. But 2019 is looking like a really good movie year, man. So, like, you know, I'm big on movies, man. Some of my friends are like, oh, movies are expensive. Like, you got to catch that matinee, bro. You just got to go. Like, you know. And, like, I go to the movies by myself a lot. And, like, I remember this girl, Elle told me this, like, she goes to movies all the time. I'm like, I do it too. It's good. It was a Monday and Tuesday in the afternoon. I have nothing else to do. I mean, like, why not? Right? This stuff. Oh, I think Toy Story 4 comes out too next year. Addition to that, I think Dark Phoenix. another Star Wars movie, Aladdin, Godzilla, Spider-Man movie, Dumbo, How to Train Your Dragon, another Lego movie, so Lego Movie 2, another John Wick movie, Frozen 2, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, with Ryan Reynolds playing Pikachu. I'm just saying, man, Zombieland, I mean, like, 2019 is looking dope as fuck, actually. Like, I'm really excited for the amount of movies that are coming out. It's going to be a big year. But, you know, other than that, you know, we're going to get to our next segment. Now, this is going to kind of focus on kind of a little bit of seriousness, a little bit. So, for my people that are listening to this podcast that have never been to Charleston, South Carolina, one thing about the city is it's a food and beverage town. It's a big drinking town, man. A lot of people like to drink here. Initially, when I first moved here, so, like, give you my timeline. I moved here in 2012, like, May of 2012, just, like, 2 weeks before my birthday. And, but before him, I was living in Columbia, South Carolina, not the drug lord company, country. I used to visit down here a lot. I had a lot of friends down here. Like, I'm from South Carolina, so I had a lot of friends that go to college in Charleston, so I used to come out and visit. And, I mean, I used to have the time of my life, man. It was, like, a good time, dude. This was back when, you know, Market Street was kind of, like, the scene. The bar scene, like bars like Molly Darcy's, Mad River, back when Tsunami had like $1 Blue Moons on Thursday. Like, they used to be the memo, you know, Thursday go to Tsunami pregame, $1 Blue Moons, then hit the Mad River. And like Mad River, like usually when my friends knew the VIP girls, so they'll give them, you had to text them or call them, and they'll give them a code, and like your first two or three drinks were like usually for free. And like, it was a good thing to Mint open and came up with dollar drinks. Kind of killed Mad River. In addition to the city, kind of wanted to get rid of the market areas being the bar scene, moving to Upper King. But with that, what triggered this thought of the segment was, I was actually talking to my roommate about it. And she's going through an issue with one of her friends who's, right now has a very severe drinking problem, and initially this drinking problem started with she drinks all the time, like she's sneaking mini bottles, and like, you know, she's pretty much at a point where, you know, if she doesn't change her trend, they're gonna end up burying her. And my roommate's been stressing about that, you know, it's been weighing on her stuff. And the kind of the biggest knock on us that her, at least according to my roommate, I don't know this person because I don't know this girl, at least not a person like that. But her parents are kind of in denial about it. And her parents kind of takes care of her. Like, this girl doesn't really have any responsibility. And I mean, she's about near 30 too. So it's kind of like, you know, you know, at that point, you know, I feel like your parents are kind of setting you up to fail. This girl can't keep a job. Her boyfriend broke up with her. Like, she's kind of going through a crisis right now. I hope she figures out a way to get out of it. And, like, in my experience, man, I have alcoholics in my family. That I have uncles there. You know, we go sober. Then, like, one bad night, and they're back at it. So, and my tale is, like, you know, I had a friend. This is before I live here. This girl who... this girl was a dime piece. I mean, this girl was like, ooh, you know. And I'm going to talk about, like, you know, College of Charleston has a lot of attractive girls anyway. I'm talking about she's one of the best, at least at the time, at that time of year, at least, like, years and years ago. This is almost, like, 9 years ago. But, I know she drinks, but at the time, I mean, we're 19 or 20, so, like, you know, you're thinking like, oh, those are college years, partying, whatever. So you don't really think much of it other than that. Then, like, what really triggered is, like, I came down here from Columbia one weekend, had a huge party one night. The next morning, like, I want to say it was a Friday night, because the next morning I woke up and one of my good friends, she was coming in town. And my good friends from high school was coming from Florence to Charleston to decide to go to school here. And, like, I was going to meet up with her just to say, hey, how you doing and stuff. And, you know, and at the time, like, I woke up early. And, like, I was the only person up. Everybody else was still asleep except this girl that was at the party. And this girl, like she comes from a lot of money because this girl used to buy all the beer for the party. Like, you know, just put it on her dad's credit card. And I'm like, at the time, I was like, man, I'm not going to say no to that. I'm a broke college kid, man. I can save some money and drink a lot of beer. Why not? But essentially, I remember she was like wanting to go with us. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. You can ride. Come meet. And I'm not thinking much of it. And like, you know, and this is like 9:30 in the morning. So it's not like extremely early, but early enough. So, like, we're going, I remember, like, what Trigger is, like, I was like, all right, we got to go over to Mount Pleasant. And for my listeners who don't know Mount Pleasant, that's just a suburb of Charleston. We're going across the Ravenel Bridge, which is a big bridge that you see in all the pictures of the city. And, like, all of a sudden, like, this girl started having a hell of a hissy fit just because she just really wants a beer that bad. I'm talking about, like, throwing, like, a temper tantrum in the backseat of my car. I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, is it this serious that you need a beer right now? Like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, oh shit. Like, shit's real, man. And that was my first episode, like, personally witnessing. I wasn't aware at the time that, like, she was getting this bad. Then I think a couple months down the line, like, you know, I remember texted one of my friends that was really good friends with her too. She told me the next time I visited, essentially, he told me about yeah, man, she's back up in rehab now because it got really bad point that she was drinking leftover beer from a party for the previous night, and like, you know, was just blackout drunk, you know, like felt like getting sick from it, like not just, you know, throwing up sick, but sick to a point where like her organs could be failing. And, like, her parents came down, sent to rehab, and from what I heard, like, this girl left college in Charleston, and then moved back home. She's from outside the D.C. area. And from what I heard, at least the last time I talked to her, because she kind of shut everybody out from that living in Charleston at the time, she's back clean, she's doing really well, and more focused. So that's a kind of success story in that sense. With this other girl currently, I know it might be confusing you because I'm just going back and forth, but I just want to use names to be able to protect these people. So just bear with me. I guess it could have came up with fake names, but, you know, I'm sorry. I'm high. I didn't really think that through. but this other girl, I mean, she's it's like it's getting serious and stuff. And, like, you know, the biggest key difference with this one is the fact that I guess her parents are in denial about it, or in denial about it, and, you know, I mean, that's the case. You're kind of limited in what you can do because you can't force someone to go to rehab that doesn't want to go. So essentially, what's going to kind of take is something really tragic to happen to a point where hopefully she doesn't have to lose her life or something that gets her like, hey, I need to check myself before this gets real bad. And pertaining to, like, the study of kind of review, this was published by the Post and Courier, I want to say, like, a few years ago, 2015. And it says, like, 23% of the adults in Charleston drinks excessively. And that number is by far higher than cities like New Orleans, Savannah, Asheville, which are cities that are traditional compared to Charleston. 55% of the city adults drink in general, which is much higher than the national average. And it makes sense. I mean, and like, you know, if you live in South Carolina, people have the trash. Hey, Dirty Myrtle. Which Myrtle Beach has a pretty high crime rate because it's easy pickings to target tourists, essentially. It's not like, well, I don't know. I have to look at the FBI stats, double check that. But like, Charleston presents itself as a classic standard, but that's kind of a front, at least a hell of a front in my eyes, because I think they're really hypocritical in that. And I think, you know, the biggest thing you'd be like, you know, if I ask one of my friends, hey, let's go do something that doesn't require drinking. And they'll look at you like you're crazy. And it's just like, what else are we going to do if we can't drink? And, you know, that's a little demoralizing. I'm like, I'm kind of realizing this stuff. I'm like, and some of this is me getting older. And, like, you know, it's like, mainly, to be real with you, I can't handle the goddamn hangovers. I'm just getting brutal and brutal and stuff. And just, I can't be hungover for 2 days. I'm going to be curled up in the bed in a fetal position. Essentially, like, you know, I have another roommate who's, like, a few years younger than us. And she drinks a lot. She's, like, drunk and blacked out, but she does crack a beer. At times, you wouldn't think you need a beer and stuff. And, you know, just like, no, sometimes I want to keep tabs on. Kind of like a personal segment for like, but this is something like, you know, that I want you to make aware of this city. And like, you know, people that have moved here, like, if you know now, Charleston's a big melting pot of people from all across the country. You know, they'd be like, man, like, you know, I moved here from, like, for instance, like from Vermont or from, like Colorado and stuff. We really didn't drink, you know, but that nature's completely changed once I moved back here to Charleston. And, you know, I'm drinking all the time, you know. You know, there's always some type of pub crawl or, you know, every restaurant has happy hours. And a lot of it's like these restaurants are going to push it because, you know, sure, that's how you make your bread and butter, man. It's alcohol sales. That's why, like, you know, beer distributors and liquor suppliers are, you know, Charleston is a must market because, you know, they're making so much money down here with the alcohol sales. So I can't fault. But, you know, if you're in this city, just keep that in mind. Like, look, man, like, this city is definitely, like, some people lose control. Some of it's also, like, you know, the food and bev industry, too. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that are alcoholics in the food and bev industry, but they might not perceive themselves. So like, but if you need a beer before you have to go to work all the time, like every single shift, or some people drink during their shifts, like, man, I have a problem, man. It's just easy talking. Like, just keep, you know, if you live in this town, if you live in Charleston and listen to this segment, you know, just keep that in mind. Just your friends might need some help more than like you initially think, you know, not be some cries for help. And like, it might not be direct, man. It might be really indirect and some, like, just in behavior. And just pay attention to the details, man, because I've had a lot of friends go through ups and downs about it. And like, fortunately, a lot of them have come out successful, but some haven't. And you know, you never know what people might be going through or what might be triggering us. And hopefully, you know, my roommate is going through this still. I hope she can figure it out and hope it gets to a positive resolution. But that being said, guys, we're going to take another break. We're going to get to our next segment. We're going to do a review piece of Folly Beach. My first 4th of July in Folly Beach. In addition to that, we're going to talk about some kind of near-death experiences that would have sucked. Like, it wouldn't be dramatic. It could have been like, damn, this like been a bummer way of going out. But we're going to get to that, guys. You're listening to the Holy City High. Hey guys, welcome back to the Holy City High. Getting to our last piece, our last segment piece. I was aiming at this be about 45 minutes. And hey, here we are. So I was actually going to tell my near-death experiences last, but I think I'm just going to go ahead and do that first. Because it's not like it's a lot. Well, I've had actually multiple near-death experiences, which I guess we all probably have at some point too. But these experiences I'm about to go through are like kind of, I wouldn't say lame, then like really unfortunate. at least this is what I'm thinking about. And like, what, I don't know what even triggered me to think about. I guess like I was reading an article about people dying at amusement parks because of the ride. Some of these rides are like, they fell, like screws came off and something got off. And like that one kid in Atlanta that got decapitated by the roller coaster because he jumped the fence. This wasn't severe. This first one happened in Myrtle Beach, Surfside Beach to be particular. It's a water park called Wild Waters. Now, I was part of, I want to say I was like fifth grade. I want to say. So probably like 8 or 9. And 10, however old you are in fifth grade. And so, like, there's this water slide. And, like, I was actually researching this and come to find out this actually has happened to somebody. But there's a huge water slide. It's like a just a – it's not like a tunnel one. It's just one of those long ones that go – it's kind of curvy. Go up and down, up and down. That has a deep decline. Well, it's right one of those one favorite rides. It's easy. And it's like – it's one of those things that's kind of happened quick. Well, like, back then, my heyday, I was pretty, like, relatively, like, real skinny. So, if you go down this shit pretty fast, you're probably going, like, at least 20, 25 miles an hour sliding down it. And, like, the problem is though, like, this thing is, like, the barriers that keep you inside, they aren't really that high. Like, at best, they're probably, like, no more than maybe a foot or two barriers long. So, like, what happened was, like, I'll slide down, and you catch air, like, you catch, like, a little bit left of air, like, slide down them shits. And, like, I caught, I guess I was going down extra fast or whatever, but I caught some air, and, like, I felt myself that I'm almost about to go over the edge. And, like, below is nothing. There's no cushion, no tire. It's just straight concrete, and it's almost, like, probably a 30 or 40 foot drop. And, like, I read to the articles, like, this happened a few times a couple years ago where people fell off and, like, no one died but got seriously hurt. Like, a broke arm, broke shoulder, but you can't die if your head hits it. I mean, that's, like, a high enough fall where your head hits the concrete. Yeah, you can die, at least have some type of brain damage. That's one story. Another story happened Folly Beach. This happened in 2013, maybe. This is where you don't black people mess with the ocean for. but I was it was with my boy Tom Justin. We just went to the beach just to go chill and just do the beach thing, and it was kind of like a dreary day. It was like pretty cloudy, but it was like, I mean, it was middle of summer, so it wasn't like 95, 100. It was like in the 80s, but warm enough being the ocean. I mean, the water was pretty warm, but you know, we got drunk, got lit. I want to say at Snapjacks beforehand, and we just went to the beach, and like I got this little wakeboard, and I'm just like chilling, vibing, not really paying attention to what's going on, and like, you know, I'm kind of like just kind of floating back, looking stuff, not paying attention. But like that day, I remember that the rip currents were really freaking strong, like, you know, shit. So like, my dumb ass just not paying attention. And like, probably after like 5 minutes, I just have to look, turn around, look back, and realize, oh shit, I'm far as fuck from the shore. And I didn't look back. I didn't look back. I looked to my right and saw that I'm almost at past the pier, like out in the ocean. And I'm like, oh shit, you know, shit. So like, you know, my fight and flight instincts. Started kicking in, and I was just like, oh shit. And like, I'm right in the middle of a rip current, so I was like, okay, I know what I need to do, but I'm drunk. And I mean, fortunately, there was a surfer dude who was like, hey, you need to lift back in, bro? Like, fuck, yes. And I was just like, and since that day, I had never been in the ocean deeper than my knees. And here we are. And no, and for my listeners, I'm thinking, oh, Nick, you're black, you can't swim. Nah, nigga, I can swim. I'm just, you know, shit. We got pools, right? I'm just fucking around, though. But that's that, you know. I mean, I'm not going to go anything that's been serious. There's other near-death experiences that was more on the violent side. Not necessarily me fighting or anything, but, you know, just being in the wrong place, wrong time scenario. But I will get into that another day. But I want to end today's episode on comedy review, man. Essentially, so this review is really going back on the Folly Beach riots. If you never heard about that or are not familiar with this, this happened 6 years ago. Happened July 4th, 6 years ago. This was America's birthday. I want to say 4th of July fell on a Saturday that year, or Friday. It might have been Friday, Saturday. I don't know. Stuff. But I'm still fresh to Charleston. I was still in the military at the time, so like, go to the store. So I was still actually in like training. in tech school, actually. And like my final tech school was here back in Charleston, because that's where the plant I worked on were C-17s. Like, you're either going to be in Charleston or you're going to be in Seattle for the remainder of your training segment. But I got back. So we went out, like, you know, our plan was going out to Folly. It's my first 4th of July line in Charleston. So I was like, you know, getting stoked and shit. And at the time, you know, you could drink on Folly Beach. It was like the last beach in the Charleston area you could drink on. The only beach in Charleston area you could drink on. So, like, fuck yeah, dude. Beforehand, every weekend beforehand, like, you know, that was a routine, you know. You know, shit, every Saturday and Sunday, go to the beach and just get drunk all day, then just go out afterwards. So that was our routine. And, but what happened was, so I guess I was just not active enough on Facebook or social media at the time to realize what's going on, but these promoters out of Georgia apparently had this huge promotion going on that, hey, everybody go to Folly Beach for 4th of July. I mean, the name of this production company was, this promotion company was After Midnight Parties. And they had like two DJs out there. And beforehand, I guess I wasn't aware that, like, this is all new. Like, we're just going up. Like, it was a shit ton of traffic. I remember it took us probably about 2 hours to go from downtown. Was it downtown? We go from West Ashley, where we live in West Ashley, which would have been like right kind of near Avondale, a little bit past Avondale. And if you don't know what West Ashley is, for my listeners, it's not from Charleston. That's just a kind of a district of Charleston, west of the Ash River, in Keys. And Avondale is just a neighborhood in West Ashley. But yeah, it took us 2 hours to go down Folly Road, and like, I mean, it was a shit ton of traffic. I mean, I was just thinking like, oh, this is Holiday Beach traffic. Not thinking like this is even more insane than normal. But so I mean, we get to the island, dude. We get to this island, and I mean, dude, it took us another 30 minutes just to even find parking. And at the time, it was me, my friend Jacob, my friend Spencer, a.k.a. Jimmy Dean. What's up, brother? And one of these guys in the Air Force with me, Harvey. We'll call him Harvey. Was at the time, was also in training with me. So, like, we're all going to the beach. And, like, we're walking to the beach. So, this was 10th Street. So, like, 10th, between 9th and 10th. It's kind of like a big college area. That's where all the college kids go, because it's kind of far from the bars. And the cops usually are, but the cops in patrol. And Folly Beach is small, man. So their police force is no more than 4 or 5 people. And we go to it. I'm like, I'm talking about, dude, like, it's probably 11 o'clock in the morning. I want to say it's like 11 or 11:30. And this beach is packed. I mean, it's like almost person. Like, there's no space. There's probably no less than maybe 10,000 people within 2 blocks. And, like, at the time, none of us knew that there was going to be DJs. And these DJs, they brought Everclear Jello shots. And my story of Everclear has never been good. I don't even drink Everclear anymore because of a horrible experience back in college. So I'm thinking, like, oh, this shit is lit. So, like, essentially, kind of what happened was, like, people were way drunker than they anticipated being so early. Like, I'm talking about, like, it's like ambulances coming to get people. 10 o'clock in the morning, man. 10, 11. This shit was freaking crazy. And, like, I had a lot of friends. I remember seeing my friend Gabby. You know, she's, like, one of the first. Shout out to Gabby. Hope your hair salon's business is going well for you. But it was, like, dude, it was crazy. Like, if you have a chance, go on YouTube and just search Folly Beach Riot. And you'll see, like, the crowd. It was crazy. And I'm probably posting pictures of it on social media page. But essentially, yo, so what happened was, like, we go, I mean, we found, like, a little spot we can find, drop our cooler and, you know, beach showers and stuff. And we all go, we meet up with our friend Taylor and Jackie at the time. And they are, near to the beach. And we had, like, a huge little crowd and stuff. Well, you know, I remember I go out in the water to go in the water to cool down, because they do a flyover for people that have never been to the Carolinas, at least South Carolina. They do a flyover It's usually, I want to say it was like Fire Jazz from Shaw, like F-16s. Yeah, fly all the way down the coast from the Carolina border down to the Georgia border. And the whole flight usually takes about 30 minutes. Give you an idea how fast those planes were going. And essentially everybody said, America, America, America. Well, that happened. Then shortly after that, this is probably like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I remember seeing that, like, I wasn't there initially when it first started, but I was in the water. Like, I was sitting in the water with my brother Spencer because we were just trying to cool off. And then just, like, he said, hey, yo, look around. All this, like, you just see a mass amount of people converging to an area. And I'm just like, bro, that's right by our cooler. So I'm thinking, like, only thing I'm thinking about, like, I don't want motherfuckers to, like, touch my beer or anything. So, like, we're going back to, so I'm starting to walk back. It was like, hey, especially you stay in the water. I'm go check on the cooler, make sure everything's good. And, like, because I think all of us was there. I think only Jacob was there, was back at the cooler. And we get back to the cooler. Like, I get back, like, around the cooler, just right outside, but probably, like, no more than maybe 2 or 3 feet away from me. You know, I start to see, like, this guy's tackled on the ground. And I was like, oh, shit, Popo got this motherfucker. And all these people, I'm telling you, like, it's probably, like, easily 10,000 people start circling, at least a couple hundred of them start circling around the cops, tackling this guy, and start screaming, you fuck the police, fuck the police. I'm like, oh, shit, these motherfuckers are lit. That's how I'm thinking, like, oh, shit. I start kind of screaming the same damn thing, too. It has nothing to do with me, but, you know, shit, I was caught up in the moment. And like stuff, and like then, like, someone started throwing beer on them. And like initially, like, I asked like somebody what happened. They were just like, this cop checked this man's cooler, he had glass. And all of a sudden, this other guy decked this cop and shit. And they all tackled him down and shit, and like lit as fuck. And apparently, the cops were trying to get to the DJ. They weren't even trying to bother these guys, they were just trying to get to the DJ to tell the DJ shut down because it's illegal to have excessive loud music, like at least in that kind of setting. Because, like, these guys, these promoters, they didn't get a permit or nothing with Folly Beach or even, like, try to advertise that they could do this. They just did it. And it was this law. But essentially what happened was, these guys got tackled. I guess they had glass on the beach. Cops was about to ram a ticket or just tell them, take it from them. And I guess one of their drunk friends came, just hit them, decked them and shit. And they tackled them. It was, like, four or five cops tackling these couple of guys and stuff. And like then, like you said, it was like all these mass amount of people. So I guess they were just like, which they have a right to be. Like, you have four or five cops trying to deal with hundreds and hundreds of people. I'd be damn nervous too. And stuff. And like everybody was just saying, USA, USA, USA. Well, at the time it was happening, like, I wasn't really aware. I initially saw it, saw the end of it. I saw homeboy Harvey getting arrested. And I'm like, hey, what the fuck? Oh, shit. And I asked him, like, what's going on? And, like, you know, so I try to, like, you know, I'm trying to make my way through this crowd. I'm like, oh, shit. I cannot get through this crowd if I get to the cops and figure out what's going on. And shit, to finally, to when the cops passed by, and I was asking, hey, like, that's one of my friends. Like, what's going on? Why you arresting him? And he was just like, oh, we're going to get him on the charges of inciting a riot. I'm just like, are you kidding me? And I'm thinking, like, you know, well, we're still in the Air Force at the time. So, like, that's kind of my worries about. I was just like, shit, everyone's been getting in trouble. Shit, we even got into a career yet. And here we are. But essentially what happened was, really, from how my friends described him, like, it's all these people was chanting. And he just happened to kind of be in the wrong place, wrong time. And, like, the first cop saw him, and they just took him down. He was just the first person they saw and stuff. So, like, and, like, bear in mind, he was the person that drove us down here. So, I was just like, oh, shit. So, like, he gets arrested and gets carted away, and it's early in the afternoon. So, I'm just like, well, fuck. I was thinking, like, what should I do? So, like, the thing I did was, like, I had his cell phone. Like, so I had his cell phone and all this stuff. So I was just like, all right, and stuff. Like, so the first person I text was like, because I couldn't get his phone. But I responded to his girlfriend's text. Was like, I love his girlfriend. Like, hey, this is what's going on right now. Can you get in contact with somebody? What I didn't do was text my sergeant because I was just like, well, shit, let me see if I can bail him out of jail or something. But it was the weekend, so I was like, fuck, this motherfucker's in here till Monday. At least that's what I was thinking. And I'm just like, I'm stuck on the beach. Like, even if I wanted to, I couldn't get out. I could have gotten out part of the time. I was blackout drunk and just didn't want to drive. So, like, essentially, we started, we continued drinking, partying and shit. And then, like, probably around, like, 6 or 7. I mean, we were still on the beach for another 4 or 5 more hours. But it was also on my mind thinking, like, all right, let me sober up. Because, like, shit, one of us got to drive. So, I started sobering up. I stopped drinking. And, like, he had a nice car, too. It was nice. He had, like, a 4Runner. It was all white 4Runner, blackout windows. And he had, like, 212s in the back. Pretty damn, like, a Kenwood 212s with a Kenwood amp. Like a 1200-volt amp. So the car dumped. Like, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't round. It was dumping pretty well. So you're just like, all right, well, shit. Head back to my house. Like, my friend Jacob stopped. I'm just like, well, shit, what we should do? Like, and stuff. And, like, at that point, I probably should text my sergeant and let him know what happened. But I didn't. Because I was just like, fuck, I want to get in trouble. Kind of being selfish on my part. So however you listen to this, my bad, bro. But actually, it was my bad. I kind of saved him a lot of detail. Yeah, I'm going to get to that a little bit. But essentially, what happened was, it was just like, well, fuck, nothing we can do. And, like, this is before Uber was a thing. So it was just like, let's go back out. And, like, Mint Charleston just opened up probably a few weeks before that. So like, let's go to Mint for the 4th of July night shenanigans. We'll pick our friend Taylor and Jackie. And we actually had, like, it was a banging night. It was an awesome night. We got like, VIP somehow. And popping bottles, turned up on 4th of July. That was lit and shit. Then the next day came, you know. The first part of the day, I'm hungover as fuck. Then, like, it's Sunday, too, so. One thing I didn't know at the time was that the Air Force checks the jail cells every single day. So, like, I get a call from my sergeant at the time. I'm in tech school, so it's kind of like our RA. He's just in charge of dorms. He's just like, hey, Nick, where are you? Like, I need to talk to you. And I'm just like, oh, okay. What's up? What's going on? He was just like, yeah. So we saw that Harvey was in jail and he was last with you. Like, what's going on? And I'm like, so I'm thinking, fuck. So I'm like, I gotta get dressed. I gotta get back to the base and get ready to deal with this shit. And essentially what happened was, fortunately, Harvey didn't say I had nothing to do with it, which I guess I didn't because I wasn't aware. The biggest thing I guess we were worried about that non-age drinking because he was only 19 at the time. I think I just turned 22. He got in trouble. He didn't get kicked out of the Air Force though, really. Because I mean, kind of couldn't kick him out of the Air Force because freaking Air Force was doing so many airmen getting DUIs, so like he's got trouble for starting a riot. And you'll see it's like his mugshot is online. You see Michael Harvey and stuff. And it was like, it's kind of bummed out, man. Because just like, you know, I tried to talk to the cop, like, man, from the military, if y'all just let him go, I'm sliding. Like, he wasn't the only one saying, like, fuck the police or go to America. And like, he had hundreds and hundreds of other people. He was just the first person you saw trying to make an example of it, but the cops just wasn't hearing it. And, like, fortunately, Harvey bailed me out. I was like, I ain't a part of it. But, like, cause I make sure he got all his things. So, wherever he brought to the beach, got back to him. Like, I let him talk to his parents, let him know what was going on and stuff. And, like, or they bailed him out of jail. So, I guess I didn't have to bail him out. But it was like, damn, it's like, it was kind of a bummer. And, like, went from there. And, like, I remember looking, like, if you weren't there, man, I remember, like, leaving the beach and seeing that beach. That beach was trash, man. It was like, I want to say looking at stats, it was like over 130 bags, 60-gallon bags of trash left out. Because, I mean, there was beer cases, food stuff, like stuff. And what happened from that point on is like a lot of locals got pissed. And like, because I think overall 16 or 17 people got arrested that day, which was far less than the number before of the prior summer, which was like 50. But the cops were saying that there were so many people in one area of the beach, we had to put our entire police force just to patrol that area and could patrol the rest of the city. In addition, a lot of the locals were mad about stuff like that. So, like, initially they did a 60-day ban of alcohol on the beach after that. Not in that weekend after that, we could go back and still could drink the weekend after that. Then initially they passed. Well, really happened, they passed. They had a council meeting, and, like, you know, eventually they kind of, what really happened was that no one showed up to advocate why they shouldn't do it, but at least not enough people did. So they kind of just passed it without any protest, and here we are now. People still drink on Folly, and just have to kind of be low key and treat on it, which is any of the beaches. But that's how it happened, man. At least that's essentially how I kind of got involved in it. It's kind of a bummer, man. But, you know, it is what it is, and here we are. But I appreciate you guys listening to this podcast. I ran a little bit longer than initially thought I was going to, but there you are, man. Check us out. I'll post pictures on our social media pages, so you can kind of see how it was back then. Also, in addition to that, if you know any local artists, I mean artists, I mean musicians, painters, or anybody has a special craft, small businesses, bartenders, servers, and anybody that has a story and you want to be able to talk about it, just shoot me an email. Business inquiries would be holycityhigh1@gmail.com. You can shoot me an email there, or just tag me up in one of our social media pages, and I'll get back. Or send me a direct message off one of our social media pages, and I'll get back to you, man. Try to set up an interview. But I appreciate you guys taking time to listen out to my podcast today. I hope everybody be safe for the holidays. Don't drink and drive, because I know a lot of holiday parties are going on right now, so be safe with that. And we'll catch you on the next episode of the Holy City High. You guys take care.